Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the University of Iowa School of Social Work, offering the opportunity to earn a master's degree from anywhere in Iowa, including an all-online MSW program. Information at socialwork.uiowa.edu.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. A week and a half later, we're still learning about the terrible storm that hit on Monday, August 10th. Derecho 2020 left behind a humanitarian disaster in Linn County, and recovery for Cedar Rapids and surrounding communities, as well as other towns hard hit by the storm, will continue for a very long time. This enormous storm also left behind a trail of destruction across rural Iowa. Cornfields flattened, soybeans flattened, grain bins crushed, barns destroyed, approximately 10 million acres of crops damaged or destroyed. This hour, I'll talk with farmers and experts about the consequences, short-term and long-term. We also want to hear about how the storm impacted your farm, and we'd love to hear from farmers of all kinds, conventional, organic, horticultural. We want to hear about how you came through this storm. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio, or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And my first guest today is Clint Werner. He farms outside of Chelsea, Iowa, in Tama County. Clint, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Charity.
And tell me where you were when the storm hit.
In the house, eating dinner. My wife works, Kathy works from home, and she was watching the news, you know, listening to the weather all day, and it just kind of hit, and we headed to the basement.
Oh, wow. So once you came up from the basement and started to take stock, tell me what you saw.
Oh, well, water everywhere. Roof was leaking. Well, we had some horse sheds blew apart. Sorry, didn't want to get emotional.
Yeah.
Found baby goats dead.
Oh.
Machine shed, lost the roof, the doors, just a lot of damage. Corn's laying flat.
Wow. So in trying to even make your way through starting to clean up, of course, I'm sure the animals were your first concern, and it took you a long time to track them all down, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I'm actually still cutting trees off a fence with the cattle. We found all the cattle finally on Tuesday of this week, and I still got, excuse me, about a quarter mile of fence yet to walk and cut trees off. So we can keep them out of the hay fields, I guess.
Wait, your cattle were missing for over a week?
Yeah, yeah. They were still on the farm, but we had a hard time finding them because they can wander, you know, about 200 and some acres. They just took off and go one pasture to the next.
You mentioned that you lost a few of your baby goats. You have a really diverse farm. You have crops, you have cattle, you have goats. Am I missing anything there?
No. My folks, they also raise chickens and ducks, so we're kind of one family farm. We just farm together.
You mentioned there was water everywhere. The roof of the house was leaking. How bad is the damage on your home?
It's pretty bad. It was worse than I thought. We started pulling sheetrock off the ceilings yesterday. And the insulation, I was squeezing water out of it, yet it was still soaked. So we're guessing that pretty much all the ceilings in the house will have to come down. New insulation, it's going to be a long haul.
Yeah, for sure. And tell me about your crops, which I sense is really the least of your concerns in this moment, but it's still an enormous blow. How many acres do you think you lost?
About 120. And that, like I say, I called the insurance companies and I talked to the adjusters, and they say kind of give it a week or two. If it starts turning brown, then they'll come out and probably classify it as a loss. But they say right now they want us to keep an eye on it. If it stays green, they're going to want us to combine it.
Wow. And do you think that's possible if it's laying down?
Oh, it's hard. I think 2011 was the last time we did it, and you can only go one way. So you get to the end of the field, you have to drive all the way back across the field and start all over again. So there's a lot of hours put in. Usually a field that would have taken us 4 or 5 hours to combine took us 2 days.
Wow. So, Clint, how are you and the rest of your family holding up? And farming is a difficult business. It's been a difficult time for farmers in Iowa. How are you doing with this blow on top of it?
Well, it was, like I say, the first couple of days were really rough. A lot of emotions. We got really good family and friends, Shane and Vicki White from Chelsea. They've been coming over and helping. So, just stressful.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's going to take a long time to dig out from this. So, Clint, thank you so much for sharing your story with us, and take care.
Oh, thank you.
Clint Werner farms outside of Chelsea, Iowa in Tama County. His farm sustained a lot of damage. He lost baby goats to the storm and just found the rest of his cattle just this week. Bill Patton is my next guest. He's been farming in Marshall County for nearly 50 years. He's also a county supervisor in Marshall County, so he's seen the damage other farmers have sustained as well. He says this is the worst storm he's ever seen. Hello, Bill.
Yes, good morning.
I suppose after farming for almost 50 years, it takes a lot to say this is the worst storm you've ever seen. You've seen a lot over the years.
Yeah, so this, we've seen blizzards and we've seen, drought and everything, but this was the scariest one. I didn't know where all our family was. You know, we're all spread out doing our individual things, and I'd had a couple of supervisor Zoom meetings in the house, and so when I got done with my meetings, the storm was already starting up, and my grandson was out in a big pasture helping a neighbor with some cows, and they laid down in the pasture in a corral, and that's how they spent the storm. And when I found that out, I thought, oh my goodness, it was a miracle that they got out of that.
Yeah.
And so when you look back, you think, my goodness, it could have been worse, I guess.
Yeah, thank goodness your family is safe. What about, tell me about the damage on your farm.
Our farm, the damage on our farm is practically all crops. For some reason, we were spared damage on our buildings. When I heard Clint talk about his house, I thought, oh my goodness, what a trial for them. But for some reason, the way it sits here, the way the topography of the land is, it did not damage our buildings. And when I drive down the road, we have neighbor after neighbor who have lost 1, 2, 3 grain bins, buildings. But I did a lot of driving around trying to find homes that were damaged because of my supervisor's side. We were making a list for FEMA. And, out of the whole township, I only found 2 homes that were damaged severely.
Well, thank goodness.
And when we look at everybody, that was pretty good, actually.
Yeah. So with your experience as a farmer and as a county supervisor, help us understand how this works. We're going to talk a lot about crop insurance this hour and the process. But
okay. For
a farmer, when you have a loss like this, we know that most conventional farmers have crop insurance. What happens next? What do you lose if your crop is insured?
Well, your deductible on crop insurance is anywhere from 15% to 50%, and it just depends how much of a premium you want to buy. The highest insurance that you can buy is 85%, which means that's a 15% deductible. And what they look at is the last 10 years of your corn crop. And if that averages 200 bushel, then that's what the guarantee is. Minus the 15% and minus anything that you may be able to get off of it when you combine it. If there's any crop out there at all, the policy specifies that you have to combine it and then weigh that, have it measured or take it to the elevator and they weigh it. And then multi-peril crop insurance then will pay the difference. It's not easy. You just don't call them up and say, my corn's gone, and they pay you. That isn't, it's a bigger and more complicated situation.
Right, a long process. And a lot of farmers work on credit. So does that create a fear and a crisis that they won't be able to pay off the loans that they took out to put the crops in?
That's always a problem, yeah. What you hope is that if you've lost your crop, that your multi-peril will at least pay the banker. If you can pay the banker off, then you've got a chance at coming back the next year then and being optimistic, maybe have get a good crop the next year. What you lose, though, is you lose your wage. You just worked all year for nothing. And that's a big deal. So then you have to visit with the banker and say, I need so many thousands of dollars to put my crop in next year, and I need so many thousand dollars to pay the living expenses for my family.
And it takes a financial toll. It sounds like it also takes an emotional toll.
It does, yeah. I really feel bad for Clint over there. My goodness, that was quite an interview, Chelsea. I felt real compassion for Clint.
Well, Bill, thank you so much for sharing your story, and best of luck as you head into the harvest season. Bill Patton has been farming in Marshall County for nearly 50 years. He's also a county supervisor in Marshall County. We're going to continue to talk about agricultural damage from last Monday's storm as the hour goes on. If you are a farmer and your farm was damaged, we'd love to hear from you, your story. 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the University of Iowa School of Social Work, offering the opportunity to earn a master's degree from anywhere in Iowa, including an all-online MSW program. Information at socialwork.uiowa.edu.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. A week and a half later, we're still learning about the terrible storm that hit on Monday, August 10th. Derecho 2020 left behind a humanitarian disaster in Linn County, and recovery for Cedar Rapids and surrounding communities, as well as other towns hard hit by the storm, will continue for a very long time. This enormous storm also left behind a trail of destruction across rural Iowa. Cornfields flattened, soybeans flattened, grain bins crushed, barns destroyed, approximately 10 million acres of crops damaged or destroyed. This hour, I'll talk with farmers and experts about the consequences, short-term and long-term. We also want to hear about how the storm impacted your farm, and we'd love to hear from farmers of all kinds, conventional, organic, horticultural. We want to hear about how you came through this storm. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And my first guest today is Clint Werner. He farms outside of Chelsea, Iowa in Tama County. Clint, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Charity.
And tell me where you were when the storm hit.
In the house, eating dinner. My wife works, Kathy works from home, and she was watching the news, you know, listening to the weather all day, and it just kind of hit, and we headed to the basement.
Oh, wow. So once you came up from the basement and started to take stock, tell me what you saw.
Oh, well, water everywhere. Roof was leaking. Well, we had some horse sheds blew apart. Sorry, didn't want to get emotional.
Yeah.
Found baby goats dead.
Oh.
Machine shed, lost the roof, the doors, just a lot of damage. Corn's laying flat.
Wow. So in trying to even make your way through starting to clean up, of course, I'm sure the animals were your first concern. And it took you a long time to track them all down, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I'm actually still cutting trees off a fence with the cattle. We found all the cattle finally on Tuesday of this week. And I still got, excuse me, about a quarter mile of fence yet to walk and cut trees off so we can keep them out of the hay fields, I guess.
Wait, your cattle were missing for over a week?
Yeah, yeah. They were still on the farm, but we had a hard time finding them because they can wander, you know, about 200 and some acres. They just took off and go one pasture to the next.
You mentioned that you lost a few of your baby goats. You have a really diverse farm. You have crops, you have cattle, you have goats. Am I missing anything there?
No. My folks, they also raise chickens and ducks, so we're kind of one family farm. We just farm together.
You mentioned there was water everywhere. The roof of the house was leaking. How bad is the damage on your home?
It's pretty bad. It was worse than I thought. We started pulling sheetrock off the ceilings yesterday, and the insulation, I was squeezing water out of it, yet it was still soaked. So we're guessing that pretty much all the ceilings in the house will have to come down, new insulation. It's going to be a long haul.
Yeah, for sure. And tell me about your crops, which I sense is really the least of your concerns in this moment, but it's still an enormous blow. How many acres do you think you lost?
About 120. And it, like I say, I called the insurance companies and I talked to the adjusters, and they say kind of give it a week or two. If it starts turning brown, then they'll come out and probably classify it as a loss. But they say right now they want us to keep an eye on it. If it stays green, they're going to want us to combine it.
Wow. And do you think that's possible if it's laying down?
Oh, it's hard. I think 2011 was the last time we did it, and you can only go one way. So you get to the end of the field, you have to drive all the way back across the field and start all over again. So there's a lot of hours put in. Usually a field that would have taken us 4 or 5 hours to combine took us 2 days.
Wow. So, Clint, how are you and the rest of your family holding up? And farming is a difficult business. It's been a difficult time for farmers in Iowa. How are you doing with this blow on top of it?
Well, it was, like I say, the first couple of days were really rough. A lot of emotions. You know, we got really good family and friends, Shane and Vicki White from Chelsea. They've been coming over and helping. So, just stressful.
Yeah, yeah. And it's going to take a long time to dig out from this. So, Clint, thank you so much for sharing your story with us, and take care.
Oh, thank you.
Clint Werner farms outside of Chelsea, Iowa, in Tama County. His farm sustained a lot of damage. He lost baby goats to the storm and just found the rest of his cattle just this week. Bill Patton is my next guest. He's been farming in Marshall County for nearly 50 years. He's also a county supervisor in Marshall County, so he's seen the damage other farmers have sustained as well. He says this is the worst storm he's ever seen. Hello, Bill.
Yes, good morning.
I suppose after farming for almost 50 years, it takes a lot to say this is the worst storm you've ever seen. You've seen a lot over the years.
Yeah, so this, you know, we've seen blizzards and we've seen, you know, drought and everything, but this was the scariest one. I didn't know where all our family was. You know, we're all spread out doing our individual things, and I had had a couple of supervisor Zoom meetings in the house, and so when I got done with my meetings, the storm was already starting up, and My grandson was out in a big pasture helping a neighbor with some cows, and they laid down in the pasture in a corral, and that's how they spent the storm. And when I found that out, I thought, oh my goodness, it was a miracle that they got out of that.
Yeah.
And so when you look back, you think, my goodness, it could have been worse, I guess. And
thank goodness your family is safe. Tell me about the damage on your farm.
The damage on our farm is practically all crops. For some reason, we were spared damage on our buildings. When I heard Clint talk about his house, I thought, oh my goodness, what a trial for them. But for some reason, the way it sits here, the way the topography of the land is, it did not damage our buildings. And when I drive down the road, we have neighbor after neighbor who have lost 1, 2, 3 grain bins, buildings. But I did a lot of driving around trying to find homes that were damaged because of my supervisor's side. We were making a list for FEMA. And, you know, out of the whole township, I only found 2 homes that were damaged severely.
Well, thank goodness.
And that again, you know, when we look at everybody, that was pretty good, actually.
Yeah. So with your experience as a farmer and as a county supervisor, help us understand how this works. We're going to talk a lot about crop insurance this hour and the process. But
okay. For
a farmer, when you have a loss like this, we know that most conventional farmers have crop insurance. What happens next? What do you lose if your crop is insured?
Well, your deductible on crop insurance is anywhere from 15% to 50%, and it just depends how much of a premium you want to buy. The highest insurance that you can buy is 85%, which means that's a 15% deductible. And what they look at is they look at the last 10 years of your corn crop. And if that averages 200 bushel, then that's what the guarantee is, minus the 15% and minus anything that you may be able to get off of it when you combine it. If there's any crop out there at all, the policy specifies that you have to combine it and then weigh that, have it measured or take it to the elevator and they weigh it. And then multi-peril crop insurance then will pay the difference. It's not easy. You just don't call them up and say, my corn's gone, and they pay you. That isn't, it's a bigger and more complicated situation.
Right, a long process. And a lot of farmers work on credit. So does that create a fear and a crisis that they won't be able to pay off the loans that they took out to put the crops in?
That's always a problem, yeah. What you hope is that if you've lost your crop, that your multi-peril will at least pay the banker. If you can pay the banker off, then you've got a chance at coming back the next year then and being optimistic, maybe have to get a good crop the next year. What you lose, though, is you lose your wage. You just worked all year for nothing. And that's a big deal. So then you have to visit with the banker and say, I need so many thousands of dollars to put my crop in next year, and I need so many thousand dollars to pay the living expenses for my family.
And it takes a financial toll. It sounds like it also takes an emotional toll.
It does, yeah. It, and I really feel bad for Clint over there. My goodness, that was quite an interview, Chelsea. I felt real compassion for Clint.
Well, Bill, thank you so much for sharing your story, and best of luck as you head into the harvest season. Bill Patton has been farming in Marshall County for nearly 50 years. He's also a county supervisor in Marshall County. We're going to continue to talk about agricultural damage from last Monday's storm as the hour goes on. If you are a farmer and your farm was damaged, we'd love to hear from you, your story. 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. As we recover from the derecho that plowed its way across Iowa on Monday, August 10th, a lot of people are going to need help. And to help us understand what kind of help farmers can take advantage of, we've asked Alejandro Plastina to join the conversation. He's an associate professor and extension economist with Iowa State University Extension. Hello, Alejandro.
Good morning, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today. Dave Swenson is also here, research scientist with the Department of Economics at Iowa State University. And Alejandro, I would love to just get your broad impression to start with. I mean, this disaster is so big and so broad as you're beginning to really wrap your mind around the needs of farmers in Iowa. What are your impressions?
Well, first of all, it's a very sad situation. It's very challenging because we already started the year with liquidity issues in Iowa farms, and these, you know, poses additional challenges to these farmers for cash flowing their operations and earning a living out of farming.
Well, so, we talked about that a little bit earlier this hour, but you know, a lot of people who are listening don't work in farming. So let's just spell out the liquidity issues a little bit more, because as I mentioned earlier, a lot of farmers have to borrow at the beginning of the growing season, and they have to pay that money back at the end of the growing season. This is a cycle that we saw really blow up in the 1980s. That's what drove us into the farm crisis, were liquidity issues. So just spell out a little bit for us where we stood at the beginning of the season and how challenging that is for farmers.
So at the beginning of the season, we had 28% of Iowa farms with very low working capital. And in fact, 14% of the farms at the beginning of the season did not have any working capital at all. So they were they required operating loans to actually be able to pay for their inputs before the beginning of the season. And then, of course, they are obliged to repay those loans. And not having a crop to sell right now is a major challenge. We have a great risk management tool, crop insurance, to deal with these cases. And wind is one of the covered events with multi-peril crop insurance. So crop insurance here will play a critical role in the coming months for all farmers in Iowa, for all insured farmers, I should say, in Iowa.
For the farmers who are surrounded by fields of crops that are turning brown and maybe beginning to smell like a rotting plants. Tell me what kind of stress farmers may be under in this situation, even knowing that crop insurance will be coming and will help them, hopefully. This has to be a really difficult time for farmers.
Certainly, yes. Just like an auto insurance, all policies, all crop insurance policies have a deductible. So even the most comprehensive revenue protection policy has a 15% deductible that, you know, can easily amount to more than $100 per acre for corn and $55 per acre for soybeans. So for a farmer planting 400 acres of corn and 200 acres of soybeans affected by the storm, this might mean about $55,000 in deductible that will not be available to pay for groceries, fuel, health bills, you know, principal and interest from existing loans or inputs for the next season. And in most cases, since profit margins are currently so thin, even an 85% coverage level will not suffice to cover all production costs, particularly if the land is cash rented. And on top of that, unless the an adjuster releases all acres in a unit, indemnity payments from crop insurance will not arrive until all crops are harvested and production records submitted, which is very late in the year. So there's a gap here, a big mismatch between when payments are becoming due for farmers and when they can expect to receive crop insurance payments.
I want to mention that Iowa State University Extension does have a hotline, an Iowa Concern hotline. This is there for farmers who are under stress, whether that's emotional stress, financial stress, et cetera. And that phone number is 1-800-447-1985, 1-800-447-1985. You can also reach out electronically. Just search for the Iowa Concern Hotline. And with me, Alejandro Plastina, Associate Professor and Extension Economist with Iowa State University, Dave Swenson, Research Scientist in the Department of Economics at Iowa State University. If you're a farmer who was affected by this storm, we also want to hear from you. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. John is on the line in Elkhart. Hi, John.
How are you doing, Charity?
I'm okay. Tell me your story.
Well, you know, we're a little bit different perspective. We're farmers, too, although we raise grapes and have a winery here. And I'm the president of the Wine Growers Association. Haven't heard much across the state, but I can tell you my experience right now. We're in the middle of harvest, and we were in the middle of an association board meeting on Monday when the storm hit and lost power. And the work that was required to get us all back and running, well, we're not there yet, but we're getting there, to try to find generators to run this equipment. And it's not just a little generator. We run three-phase equipment here. We've had to, and we were able to secure that. And by Saturday, and Saturday morning, we started our first crush. And lo and behold, the power came on. So it was kind of a comedy of errors, but if you're not prepared, you're not going to be able to get through it all. And then all the damage that we had here on site, we do weddings, we do music events and stuff, and we had 10 people here for 14 hours just cutting down trees and hauling debris away and just enough to clear the path, you know. So, yeah, when harvest is on, it's a busy time for us, but this really added a lot of stress and work and expense. So it's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we were talking with a farmer who is trying to get into the hemp business earlier. With the winery business, how does crop insurance work for you, John?
Well, you know, I have that kind of insurance through our carrier, but I've never had to exercise that. Mostly it goes towards equipment damage. I've just never really exercised that, that right there that I have on the insurance. So I can't tell you how it actually covers us here. It's mostly through spoilage and stuff. We can't store this. When it's ready, it's ready, and we got to get it in the winery and into the tanks and make it into wine, you know? So I wish I had a better answer for you, but I don't.
Well, John, good luck as you continue with your cleanup. Thank you so much for your call, and you're welcome to join our conversation, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Dave Swenson is here, research scientist in the Department of Economics at Iowa State University. Alejandro Plastina, associate professor and extension economist with Iowa State University. They can also answer your questions, 866-780-9100. And Dave, we've heard from a hemp farmer. We've heard from a vineyard in Iowa. We know that there are lots of smaller horticultural farms in Iowa that have been founded over the last couple of decades. And of course, these don't fit into our normal categories for conventional agriculture in the state. How do you think that impacts this situation?
Well, some of those now are able to get crop insurance. Some of them may or may not, depending on the size of their operations. What we see right now is this incredible destruction of a mostly of a plant that stuck way up in the air, was top heavy and got knocked over. What it's done to the horticultural industry at all, I don't know that I've seen any reporting other than what we just heard on the wine harvest and the winery here. So that's one of those issues. Now, as a fraction of production in the state of Iowa, while it's a growing part of the state's economy and its agricultural output, it's still a very, very small fraction of the state's acres that are used that way. So in terms of their economic impact in the aggregate, it's going to be very, very small. The economic impact, though, for an individual producer, very well may be very high.
Right, or even devastating. Alejandro, mm-hmm. for farmers who are trying to take stock of what has happened on their property and starting mm-hmm. to ask for assistance, what do you recommend? How do you even start this process? There are so many different elements. Like we talked with Clint earlier, and he's got two missing sheds, he's got animals that were killed, he's got crops that are down, and a home that's damaged. Where do you begin?
Well, first of all, taking stock of all that, you know, and contacting the insurance providers. So for crop insurance, the topic I'm most familiar with, the first thing is to report that the damage. So file an NOL, a notice of loss, within 72 hours of the initial time of discovery or of damage or loss. And if this NOL cannot be filed on a timely manner, the approved insurance provider will accept or may accept a delayed notice of loss. That will allow the AIP, the approved insurance provider, to send an adjuster and to decide how to move forward. That will really depend on the field conditions and the farmer's decisions too. So if the AIP determines that field conditions will prevent farmers from ever being able to mechanically harvest the crop, that production will be considered a full loss. If that is not the case, then the farmer can choose to, one, settle the case based on appraised production, or two, take the crop to harvest. Irrespectively, if the farmer chooses to harvest the crop, even if they chose option one first, the producer must accept the highest of harvested production or appraised production for claims purposes. And if they chose option one, then they will have to file a revised claim. So I have five guidelines based on a recent Q&A that was published by the Risk Management Agency, you know, as recent as yesterday night. So first of all, report the event to your crop insurance provider. Then, if the farmer wants an immediate release of the field to go to another use, the producer can request the use of representative sample areas, or RSAs, by the AIP. These are areas of the field that the AIP authorizes the producer to leave when an accurate appraisal cannot be made at the present time. Appraisals from the SRAs of the unharvested crop acreage are later used to settle the claim. Another important guidance is that if farmers want to salvage any remaining crop for use as silage, they can do that, but depending on how the corn is insured, it can affect the indemnity payments. So for corn insured for grain, once the AIP releases the field for another use, the producer can harvest for silage without penalty. Now, for corn insured for silage, if the producer agrees to settle on appraised production, but they still attempt to harvest for silage, the producer must accept the higher of the appraised or harvested production for claims purposes. Finally, if the producer can hay or graze a second crop without penalty, if the ground has been released for another use by the AIP, it is not practical to replant the insured crop, and the second crop will not be insured. This is an interesting option for farmers who want to use cover crops. And a comment about the destruction requirements. the only case in which producers are required to physically destroy their crop production is when grain production is mature and no buyers in the local area are willing to purchase it, and it is not economical to ship it to other buyers, typically because of molds and toxins in the mature grain. So this is the case of a crop with zero market value, and it does not matter whether the grain has been harvested or not. I think those 5 points are really critical to take into account right now.
The crop that is left in the field, even if it is of no value, farmers will have to clear that. I mean, of course, we have more and more no-till operations. It's rare to see a farmer tilling, especially in the fall, which used to be incredibly common when I was younger. But they're still going to have to get this crop cleared so they can plant next year, right, Alejandro?
Yes, that will be a challenge, and farmers can, for those who do till, can incorporate some of the stalks and the biomass into the field by tillage. And for those who are under some kind of NRCS program and are doing no-till, they must contact their NRCS office before deciding what to do with that all that biomass. But it will be challenging to clear those fields for sure.
Absolutely. So we only have about a minute left, and Megan was telling us earlier about some of the ways that farmers who have experienced damage can get help from Iowa State University Extension. Alejandro, I'll let you just repeat a little bit of that, or at least give us some advice on where they should turn in this moment.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, I think the Iowa Concern Hotline is a critical resource. And then in the Ag Decision Maker, there are several links to relevant information and also links to not only the economic analysis for the situation, but also links to the agronomic analysis that Megan was talking and guidelines on the agronomic side too. So the Ag Decision Maker website is where to go for this kind of analysis too.
Okay, thank you so much. And obviously we have weeks and weeks of work, months left of work to deal with the outcome of this storm. Alejandro Plastina, thank you for being here today.
Thank you very much, Charity.
Alejandro Plastina, Associate Professor and Extension Economist with Iowa State University. Dave Swenson, thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Dave Swenson, Research Scientist in the Department of Economics at Iowa State University. We've been talking about agricultural damage from derecho 2020. And of course, you can find out more about the damage of this terrible storm on our website, iowapublicradio.org/derecho. We've gathered all of the information that we've been bringing you there on one easy page to find. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.